Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. We do have those who are visiting with us. We are thankful for your presence, and we hope that you will be back every opportunity that you have. A few quick things before we jump into the lesson. Many have asked about camp, and camp went great. I've got a few stories that I can tell, but we'll save those for a different time. Of course, over the course of 2 weeks of camp, we had a total, counting Realfoot and Indian Creek, of 6 baptisms, 1 restoration. Of course, most notable of that is one of our own, Brent, who put Christ on in baptism, and we were excited about that, thankful for his decision. Monday night Summer Youth Series, as was mentioned, that's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. I know the title of that is Youth Series, but everyone is welcome to come to that, okay? Don't think if you count yourself in an older group that you can't come and be a part of that. You can. In fact, we want you to. And so hope you make plans to be here for that. If you signed up to bring something, I know that that sign-up sheet, I glanced at it last night when I came up here. Looked like it's pretty well full. But if you're still wanting to bring something, you can always bring more sweets. There's never enough sweets. So we can take some of those home with us. So, but if you are planning on coming, please make an effort to be here. It's always a great time. VBS, right around the corner. We'll close our eyes, turn around, and it will be upon us. And so I hope everyone's making preparations to that. And also want to say thank you to those who filled in. Dr. Hunt and Stephen, Shannon, Robert Anderson, Mr. David, all those who helped out. I appreciate that very much. There is a shortage of fathers in our nation today. Not a shortage of boys who can get a girl pregnant, but there's a real shortage of men who can and will be a father to that child. Coming off of 2 weeks of camp, and in each of those settings, there are young men and women who are starving for a father figure in their life because they don't have that. And there are a lot of men who are great fathers. There are a lot of individuals in this audience who I consider to be great fathers. And I commend you for that. For the job that you do, I encourage you to keep on striving to be that dad that your children can depend upon. I'm thankful for you. I know the God of heaven is as well. If you've been a father for any amount of time, there's a good possibility that at some point you've received an item with the slogan, "The world's greatest father." Maybe it was on a coffee mug, or maybe a tie. Maybe it was a little award that someone picked up at Walmart. Maybe it was in a card. But at some point, you've probably received something that has that saying or some variation of it upon it. And those items are great. It feels good to have our children proclaim that we're great in their eyes. But the truth of the matter is, at the very best, I'm the world's second greatest father, because that first spot belongs to the God of heaven. The greatest father that there is, the greatest father that there ever will be. And in Psalm 103, and if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to be turning there. In Psalm 103, we have a description for us of our heavenly Father. A section of Scripture that proclaims His greatness. A lot of what is said of Him in Psalm 103 are things that should characterize us, men, if we're going to be the godly fathers that we want to be, that we need to be. Our 3 points this morning will focus in on verses 11 through 13, but before we get to those verses, I want us to back up and notice the first 10 verses of the psalm as well. In Psalm 103, the psalmist begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." This statement here of "bless the Lord," you'll see it several times over and over in the psalm, especially when you get to the very end of the psalm, which we won't notice today. The last 3 verses have this phrase repeated 4 times within them. And it's a psalm saying that because of all that God is, because of all that He has done, because of who He is, you and I should praise Him. You and I should worship Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord works that righteousness. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Some of the things he does, notice in this passage, he gives. The phrase there, forget not his benefits. The Lord supplies the things that we need, does he not? I mean, we read through in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we have that great promise to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What are the things? Well, back up in the verse, and we see that passage is talking about the necessities of life. God has promised he's going to provide those things if we'll put him first. He gives. Forget not his benefits. The Bible says here that he forgives. Aren't you thankful for that? Imagine if we had a father who didn't forgive, how much trouble would we all be in, right? He heals. He redeems. He crowns. This word crown is a very interesting word. It means to encircle for protection. And notice what he encircles us with, his steadfast love and mercy. The psalmist says that God encircles us. He protects us with his love and with his mercy. He satisfies. He works righteousness and justice. We serve a God that sees those who are oppressed and he cares. He made himself known. Of course, within the context of our psalm, he says he made himself known to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, if you remember that chapter, remember Moses saw the burning bush. And he went to investigate why the bush burned and it didn't burn up. And God revealed himself to Moses, made himself known. But he also makes himself known to us. We have something that Moses doesn't have. We can read about what Moses encountered and what everyone else encountered. We serve a God that makes himself known. He doesn't hide in the shadows. He doesn't back away. He doesn't make it to where we have to cry out because he's nowhere near. He is there for you and for me. The psalmist goes on to describe some characteristics of our God. Not just what he does, but who he is. The Lord is merciful and gracious, verse 8. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. The psalmist says he's merciful and gracious. We've talked before, we understand the difference between mercy and justice, right? You get pulled over by a police officer and you've been going a little bit faster than you should have been, and hopefully that was by accident. I do this all the time. I'll get to talking to Micah and my foot just continues to go down for some reason. When that cop pulls you over, do you want mercy or do you want justice? We want mercy, don't we? Because those tickets are like $200+ now. We understand the difference between mercy and justice. Our God is merciful. He's gracious. The Bible says here that he is slow to anger. As you think about these things here, think about them in relation to a father. As fathers, do we need to be merciful and gracious? Yes. Do we need to be slow to anger? Absolutely. He's abounding in steadfast love. He does not hold on to anger. You know, the children of Israel, they experienced God's wrath. Not for no reason. They had turned away from God. And so God sent empires, the Assyrian Empire, to take care of the northern kingdom, Babylonians for the southern kingdom. But he also brought them back. He does not deal with us as we deserve. And aren't you thankful for that? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. That's what we deserve. But God doesn't deal with us as we deserve. He is merciful and gracious. And we could spend tons of time right here in these verses. And I hope you'll spend some time looking at these verses. Because as I said, Father, these are characteristics that you and I need to have. But in verses 11 through 13, we get three things about God. Three points that I want us to notice this morning. Number one, we see first of all that He loves consistently. He loves consistently. Notice verse 11 with me. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. This phrase, steadfast love, depending on what translation you're looking at, it's a word in the Hebrew that's translated a lot of different ways. And the reason is because it's a word that really in the Hebrew, not just one word can cover it. Because it is the idea of love, but it is also the idea of loyalty. It's the idea that God is loyal in the love that He has for His people. In other words, He doesn't love you one moment and then stop loving you the next. There's never a moment when you have to question, does God love me or not? His love is consistent. I've mentioned this statement before, and I still remember the first time I heard it, because it was a statement that when I heard it, on one hand, it made sense, but on the other hand, I was like, is that right? Here's the statement. There's nothing that you can do that is so great that will cause God to love you more. In other words, if I'm living just as good as I can be, there's nothing about that that's going to cause God to say, well, I love Him more now. But on the flip side of that, there's also nothing that you can do that is so bad that will cause God to love you less. Now, He might not love what you do. He might not love how you live your life. But it doesn't cause Him to love you less. Friends, His love is consistent. And fathers, isn't that the way that we're supposed to be? I mean, are there times that our children drive us to the brink of madness? Absolutely. Or we just want to scream? But does our love falter in those moments? No, it does not. It should never be the case, fathers, that our children have any doubts concerning the love that we have for them. And it should be the fact that you and I never doubt the love that God has for us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that He sacrificed His Son. Now, I hope after 14 years of being with you, you know that I love you, that I care about you, that I want what's best for you. But if you think I'm going to sacrifice Harrison for you, I'm sorry. I can't. I can't fathom doing that. But that's exactly what God did for us. That's what He did. He gave His Son for us. You want to talk about a love that's hard to comprehend? Friends, it's that love. And it is a love that is consistent. Day in and day out. We learn from Psalm 133 that our Father, the world's greatest Father, loves, number one, consistently. Number two, He forgives completely. He forgives completely. In verse 12, the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove out our transgressions from us. Is there any point in time where the east meets the west? Shake your heads like this. No. There's no point in time. The East is as far from the West as far can get. The two never meet one another, okay? And that's what the psalmist says God does with our sins. When He forgives, they're gone. That slate is wiped clean. Friends, He forgets. And we need to forgive as God forgives. The Hebrew writer in Hebrew chapter 8 and later on in verse 10 quotes from the Old Testament two times about how God, their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. I realize as human beings, you and I don't have the ability, we have the ability to forget, but we don't have the ability to choose what we forget, right? In fact, most of the times, the things that we would choose to forget, we can't forget. It's all the other stuff that we forget. But we should live our lives as if we forgot those things. That's what forgiveness does. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. He qualifies it. Watch the next phrase. As God in Christ forgave you. That means when you seek forgiveness and I forgive you, friends, I don't get to hold that in my pocket and save it for another day. I don't get to later on pull that out and hold that over your head. God doesn't do that to us. We can't do that to each other. Forgive it, forget it, and move forward. We owe that to others. We owe that to ourselves. You come tomorrow night for the youth event, you'll learn a little bit more about that. Friends, we serve a God that forgives completely. And if we're going to be like the world's greatest fathers, we need to do the same. Third and finally, He cares compassionately. He cares compassionately. Going to verse 13, as the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Once again, depending on your translation might have the word pity there. And in the way we used to use the word pity, that works. In the more usage that we have for that word today, it doesn't work as well. A better word for day is this word compassion. And we normally think of compassion as a feeling. But that's not necessarily the case when we go to God's Word. And we can see that example in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. If you recall, there was a lawyer that came to Jesus. He asked him a question. And Jesus was answering that question. He's telling him, you should love your neighbor. And he asked another question, well, who's my neighbor? And then he told a parable. It's the parable that we normally refer to as the Good Samaritan. And you know the parable, I'm sure. There was a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and as he was on his way, he fell among a band of thieves. They stripped him of his clothing, took all of his belongings, and left him there to die. And how fortunate for this man, because it just so happened that two individuals were coming that way. One of them being a priest, the other one being a Levite. How fortunate for this man. Here's two religious individuals, two individuals that are supposed to serve God. And so surely they're going to stop and help this man, but they don't, do they? They just go on by. But then Jesus tells us about a Samaritan. And in verse 33, the Bible says He had compassion on him. And then all you got to do is go to the next verse, verse 34, and guess what that compassion did? Compassion went to work. One writer said the Samaritan put feet to his feelings. He bound up the man's wounds. He put him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn. He left him there, and he told the caretaker, whatever else you need to spend, spend it. And when I come back through, I'll pay for it. Friends, compassion acts. If I care compassionately, that care, that compassion, it causes me to act. Compassion is an action, and God is active. He is involved in our lives, and Godly fathers should be as well. Guys, if we're going to be the fathers that God wants us to be, the fathers that I know many of you are, then we're going to care compassionately because that's what our Heavenly Father does. Friends, we serve a great God. A God who loves consistently. A God who forgives completely. A God who cares compassionately. We serve a God who is faithful to us. The question this morning is, are you faithful to Him? Are you His child this morning? Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from sin and put Christ on in baptism? Or maybe you've done that, you are a Christian, but you realize this morning, you know what, I've got a great Father, but I haven't been living up to Him. I haven't been serving Him as I should. Make a change this morning. There is no reason to leave this building this morning not being right with your Father. You need to respond to heaven's invitation. We'd ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.